Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the Word of God? Are you ready for the Word? Amen. It's the Word that gives life. It's the Word that quickens this mortal body. It's the Word that sets the captives free. Amen. And so I'm going to ask my precious wife, Grace, to come and to minister the Word of God to us in the precious name of Jesus. Just welcome her in.
Praise God. I'm so glad that God is on my side and that in Him I have the victory. Praise His name. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your absolute goodness to us this week. We thank You that You're with us constantly. And Lord, You never leave us or forsake us. And with You, Lord, all things are possible. And so we give You praise this afternoon. Father, I just ask that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, You will bring out those things that are important today. And that, Lord, they will just take root in our hearts and bring forth a harvest in Jesus' name. Amen. For a few weeks now, there's four words been coming to me. And I thought, okay, God, this sums a few things up. And it's all about, really, something that we're all familiar with that I keep talking about, but it just resonates in my heart, and it's something we keep needed to be reminded of. And that is about rolling everything, casting everything on God and letting God do the work. He doesn't want you to work. He wants to work for you on your behalf. But so often we get independent and think we know better and we can do it. And God clearly shows us that that's not the case. And many of us, I don't think any of us can say that we never encounter a problem. Is there anybody here who hasn't got or hasn't had a problem? Something common to all of us. It could be fear. It could be finance. It could be a job. It might be a habit that you cannot conquer. It could be that you're facing challenges in your work. English classes. You might think, I'm too old to learn. No, you're not too old to learn, because it's God who gives you the ability to do everything that you do. And so all we need to do is call on God and say, God, I need to learn English. I need to be fluent in it. I need to be able to converse with people. And if we come as a little child, then God will do the rest. He'll take up what we need and what we can't do. He is faithful. It may be family problems, I don't know. But God, I know one thing, that God is the source of all our supply. Whatever your need is, Jesus is the answer. But there are certain things that we need to do, and there's certain things we don't need to do. And the first thing is that we need to roll all of our care onto Jesus. He said, roll it. And in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, here Peter is telling us, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. The Word of God says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. God loves us. He's interested in the smallest detail. I think it was Wednesday. Dia came to the prayer meeting and she got a wart on a finger. And you know what these girls are like. We're all very vain, aren't we? We don't like nasty warts and things being there that shouldn't be. And she was talking to Andrew and Helen and I, and she said, oh, look at this wart, it's horrible, I don't want it. And so Helen says to her, come here. And so she prayed for her and she rebuked it in Jesus' name. And on Friday she came to the youth and she said, no wart, it's all gone. You know, and today we're jumping and dancing. Why? Because Jesus is interested in the smallest detail in your life, as well as the big things. But what he says to you, if you want me to take up your cause, if you want me to handle your problem, I first of all need you to let go of it. And by letting go of it, you're going to hurl it. You're going to hurl it on me. Now, if I want to get something to Ken at the back, it's no good me just doing this. It won't reach him, will it? And the Bible says when we cast all of our cares, it's like having a great big ball. You know, these netball players, they run to the goal, they run to the net, and up it goes and over it goes, and they make sure it's in the net. And that's the way that God wants us. I'm going to get all wired up here. That's the way God wants us to throw our problems. He doesn't want us to take them back. Once we've done that, he says, just throw it on me. And so in Psalm 37 and verse 5 is another scripture. And David was a mighty man of God, and he knew the power of God in his life. And there were many times that David tried to do it on his own and he didn't succeed. And he says this in Psalm 37 and verse 5. He says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. And then verse 7 is also important. It says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. That commit your way to the Lord is actually, to in the Amplified, it says, roll all of your cares on the Lord and rest. That is beautiful. Roll all of your cares on the Lord and rest. And wait patiently for him. Sometimes things happen very quickly. We've seen things just suddenly, when we've given it to God, immediately it seems that the answer has come right back to us. But sometimes you have to hang on in there, and that might take weeks, months, it may take years, but never give up. So the first thing you have to do with your problem is to roll it on God. And the next thing you have to do is rest. So the first one, I don't know if you can put these up, Daniel, but the first one is roll, and the second one is rest. We have to rest in him. He's the Word. And Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 to 30 are just beautiful. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Do as I tell you. Give me your burdens. Do as I tell you. For I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you'll find rest in me for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus said the only way we can rest is to give the problem to him. Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. Come to me with your problems. I'll give you rest. My yoke's easy. My burden's light. You can jump and skip and you can be happy while things are going on that you can't control. But I've got the answer. I want to meet your need. I want to show you that I love you. I want to show you that I care about everything you do. Near and dear, Jesus wants to show you that you can be the best if you'll let him. Invite him in and say, Jesus, I ask you to help me with my studies. I ask you to give me the ability to excel. Same with Daniel and same with Martin. Whatever we're doing, God wants us to be the best and to excel. And that is possible if we are prepared to let God take control and lead us and give us his thoughts and his words and his mind on the matter. What impresses me is, you know, when Jesus was asleep in the boat, and he said before they got in the boat, didn't he, to the disciples, come, let us go to the other side. Jesus is the word, and what he says, no devil in hell can stop. We need to establish that right now. The devil is under your feet. And when you get a word from God, the devil can't stop it. He'll try. He'll do all sorts. He'll create such a storm around you that you will want in the flesh to give in. You'll want to cave in. But Jesus said, you've got my word. I've given you my word. And that is your authority. That is your victory. That is your strength. That is where you will overcome the devil, if you don't cave in and look at what's going on around you or what isn't going on around you. And Jesus wasn't bothered. He got in the boat. He said, we're going to the other side. The devil heard it and thought, not if I've got anything to do with it. But you know, Jesus knew who he was. He knew the devil had no power over him. And so he had confidence in his word. Have you got confidence in God's word? If God tells you something, do you really know that that is going to be as it's going to be? That's what's going to happen. The devil is not going to stop it. Only if you quit on believing that word. Because Jesus said, we're going to the other side. And consequently, he fell asleep. The disciples obviously didn't believe his word. Because the next thing, they're shaking him like crazy. Come on, wake up. Don't you care that we perish? Look what's happening. The waves are pounding this boat. The boat's tossing and turning. And are we ever going to survive? And Jesus said, what is your problem? Do you not believe my word? He stood up. He went to the front of the boat and he said, peace, be still, immediately. The winds and the waves died down. That same Jesus is in here. He's the word. The word of God is Jesus. That same word is in you. When you receive this word from him, don't ever look anywhere else. Don't forget it. Write it down. Place it in a prominent position. And constantly keep your eye on what God has said, because that is what will be. He's faithful. He knows what you need before you need it, sometimes before you know it. He knows it, and he's made a way for you. He's prepared it because he is God. He knows everything. He knows the devil has no power over him, and we need to know that the devil has no power over us if we will trust in his word. And so Jesus wants us to rest, and the only way we can rest is in his word. And I read a scripture this morning that blessed me. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 10. For those who enter God's rest also, now listen to this, for those who enter God's rest also cease from their labors as God did from his. When we enter God's rest, then we cease from our labours. In other words, we've hurled that problem onto God and we've said, God, it's yours. You handle it. You deal with everything around it. You provide whatever I need. You give me the ability. You sort it out. But I'm keeping my eyes on you. I'm just looking to you. I'm not looking at what's happening. I'm looking to you. That's resting. Resting in the word of God. And that word will go to work and it will create what God wants to happen. During this time, there'll be one thing that you'll surely have to do. And this is our next R. And that is resist the devil. He'll come knocking at your door, because he wants to snatch that word out of your heart, and he wants to stop. If he can snatch that word out of your heart, then he can win. He's won the battle, and he's defeated you. So we have to resist the devil. And back to 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll go again over verse 7. Cast all your care on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves and keep alert, Because like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, is prowling around and is looking for somebody to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in your faith. We'll stop there for now. Jesus said, don't be under any illusions. When I've sown that word into your heart, the battle starts, as it did for Jesus in the boat. And the devil is determined to snatch that word out of your heart, and he will do it by circumstances. He'll do it by putting pressure on you. He will get you. He knows your weak points, and he'll attack there every time. And he's trying to destroy that word in you. But we have to be strong, and we have to be focused, and we have to say, I am not letting go of that word. God said it. That settles it. It will be as God said. Amen. I can't tell you how many times Andrew and I have done that, and I've related many experiences over the years. But you know, when I moved jobs within the company that I was with at that time, and I didn't really feel that it was what God wanted me to do, but I was so fed up and frustrated, the devil got me, and I moved foolishly to another part of the group in that company. And not many months later, that part of the group was to be made redundant. It was to be closed. And I did what I always do. I ran to the Word of God and I said, God, I'm sorry, I've obviously done the wrong thing here, but Andrew's not earning any money. You need to provide for us. I need a job, God. I can't be out of work. And God gave me a word out of Proverbs 3. And he said, Psalm 91, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it'll not come near you. And you know, when you get that word from God, there's something that settles down inside of you and you think, yes, that's it, I've got it. And you know you've got it, and it's just this peace inside, this confidence. And I think, well, I don't know how that's going to work, because it's illegal to put me back where I came from. But God, you said, 1,000 will fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it won't come near me. And the miraculous thing was, they transferred me back to my old job and they made the other girl redundant. Is God good, or is God good? He has a way. I thought they couldn't do that, but hey, God can do anything. If he's for you, who can be against you? God is for us, and what he said is exactly as it will be. In the 1 Peter 5, if we go on with verse 9, it says, resist the devil and stand steadfast in your faith. For you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. I think the devil is very subtle. You tend to think, this only happens to me. There's only me has ever encountered this. Woe is me, poor me. And you start feeling sorry for yourself. And why is it happening to me? Why is this the devil picked on me? Why is God allowing this? Well, you know, you never go into a situation but what you come out stronger. And God uses the devil for that purpose alone, not to weaken you but to make you strong. Because it's only when you put something into practice and you try it and you see it working that you come out thinking, I am strong. God can do anything. I'll trust him every time. So know this, that the Word of God also says, if you've been tempted by something, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. The devil's got no new tricks. He tries all the same things time and time and time again. And I just thank God that he is so faithful. Even this weekend, as Martin and Daniel have been down to Teen Challenge, they've seen Stephen. And you know, Stephen just loves God. He's passionate about God. He was all fired up and pumped up. But, you know, he gets knocked down, he gets knocked back, because not everybody thinks like he does. And he gets discouraged when people rebuff him and it seems like they're not as excited as he is. And he thinks, well, why shouldn't everybody be excited like me? Don't you know how good God is and what he's delivered me from? And what a future I've got in him. why would you not want this? But you know, some people are not all, they don't always show their excitement in the same way. Some people are positively not excited. They go to church out of habit, and it's just the thing to do. But no, it's not. God is living and active, and his word is living and active, and he wants it to live and be active in you. He wants you to see miracles in your own lives. He wants to see you provide, him provide for you as you believe that he will. He's provided jobs for us, he's provided finance for us, he's provided cars for us, he's provided church for us. If God is faithful, don't ever give up on the word of God. If God's placed you somewhere, you will be successful. Rubbish to theology, they're just man's thoughts. We don't want to be listening to man's thoughts. You know what they're looking for, give it to them, but don't let it get into your spirit. The word of God is the truth, and it's the truth that sets us free. We need to know that that word needs to be in our mouth constantly, because it will produce miracles and it will give us the life that God intends for us. I was struck by Martha in Luke chapter 10 and verse 41. We'll go from verse 38 here through to 42. Now as they went on the way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks. So she came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by too many things. There is need of only one thing, and Mary has chosen that better part, which will not be taken away from her. Martha, you have been upset and worried about many things. And sometimes, hands up, I can identify with Martha sometimes. Hey? Sometimes we get, God, why is there so much to do? Why does everything seem to fall on me? I can't keep this up. God, what am I going to do? And he says to me, roll it on me. There's not just you. There's people that you haven't a clue about that I'm going to bring into this situation. I'm going to ease your load. Come unto me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am humble and gentle in heart, and I'll give you rest for your souls. I want to live a life of rest. I don't want to be stressing and fussing. And you know, as we're coming up to Christmas time, it seems, oh, the devil's bombarding you. There's so much to do. Hey, roll it on God and say, God, lead me to the right shops with the right presents for the right people. Just sort it out for me. You know, Project 100, we're not going to be stressing. We're going to pray and we're going to believe that God is going to provide in abundance, and that we're going to meet the right people in the right place at the right time, because God set it in our hearts to do it, and it will be successful. It will bring forth a harvest. So God doesn't want you to be a warrior. If you're a born warrior, don't. Become a warrior for Jesus. And just cast that care and learn to trust him. In Matthew chapter 13 and verse 22, it tells us very clearly that worry chokes the word. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth chokes the word, and it yields nothing. God doesn't want us to be worrying for one reason. Fear and worry will choke that word of God in you and will kill it. Because when you're afraid, pretend that this is a gun. This is the word of God. And God says, I've given you something here that is powerful. Now use it on the devil. Just every morning, get this word and shout it to the devil and tell him, this is what God says, and that's all I'm interested in, and I care for nothing else, okay? But if you get up and you look at what's happening or not happening around you, if you start focusing on the things that are wrong or your problem, you're doing one other thing, you're doing something completely different, and I'm not being unkind to you here, but when you stand up and you worry and you get all fretting and panicking, you give ammunition to the devil. You give your gun to the devil. So don't be surprised when he shoots you down and gives you a tough time, because he won't hesitate to use it. Every negativity, every negative thought, every negative word, every negative action is arming the devil against you. I don't want to do that. I'm going to keep a hold of this word, this weapon, and I'm going to use it on the devil, and I'm going to smash him to bits, and I'm going to make sure I tread him under my feet. But I can only do that if I rest in the word of God, if I roll my problem on God, if I rest in the word of God, and I resist the devil. We will not have him getting the upper hand. Praise God. We're back to a verse here that we always keep quoting. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. The verses preceding this, in actual fact, from verse 24, it tells you, don't worry about food, clothes, eat, food, drinking, what you're going to wear. Don't I look after the air, the birds of the air, so why won't I look after you? And then in verse 33, he sums it up by saying, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. If we put God first, absolutely everything else will be taken care of. That is the key that we need to know. God's word is the final authority. And if we believe that, we'll have the ability to do as he says. And whatever your issue is, whatever your problem is, whatever your concern is, I can't emphasize enough, give it to God and seek God. For those of you who are learning and studying, the best thing you can ever do, if you want to pass your exams, don't stay away from church. Get to church, and God will give you the ability to do your studies in the time allocated to you. You will have no problem, I promise you. You will come through with flying colours. Why? Because you have put God first, and everything else will be added unto you. God is faithful to his word, and he's a mighty God. But we need to follow his instructions. If we don't, we won't receive the promise. So we need to do it in its entirety. We need to roll our problem on God. We need to rest in his word. We need to resist the devil. And the last thing we need to do is rejoice. Rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. In everything, give thanks. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11. Sorry, verse 6. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Go back to verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. He's right inside you. He knows. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So here Paul is saying, rejoice in everything, give thanks, rejoice at all times. I've conquered the devil for you. I've given you my word. You're a mighty warrior, you're a mighty conqueror, and you're more than a conqueror with me. I'd just like to read a couple of paragraphs. I've been so blessed, and I got this out of the library, so I'll put it back where I got it from, reluctantly, because it is such a good book. But if you want to get it out, sign out for it, and read it, it will really inspire your faith and challenge you, because it's a mighty man. It was Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was alive in the mid to late 1800s, and he had a call from God to go to China, and he wasn't a fit man, and there were many obstacles, but he was a man who trusted God. But until he really found the secret of resting in God and casting his cares onto God, he had a torrid time. And he admits that. But he got to a place where he learned to trust God and to rest in God for every situation. And I just want to read these last few paragraphs. But I first need to tell you what happened previously. He came back from China because he was needed in England for a short period of time. And he had a base in England called the China Inland Mission. And there were people heading up that mission. They were doing the prayer letters, they were doing the magazines, they were keeping everybody in touch with what was happening. And they were praying, they were getting prayer meetings together, they were raising finance. And the Lord was blessing the work through the home base. But a lady who was heading up the home base, who was very dear to Hudson Taylor, was very seriously ill. And he was anxious to get home to pray with her and to just spend some time with her. But circumstances prevented him from doing that. He was detained in China for longer than he intended. And eventually, by the time he got home, his dear friend had gone to be with the Lord. And on his journey home, he was going down the Yangtze River, and he was on a boat, and the boat knocked him to one side as it rolled, and he was on the top step of the stairs, and suddenly he fell down the stairs, and as he landed on his heels. And that brought, was later to be seen, he brought a concussion to his spine. He sprained his ankle, but he got over that quite quickly. But when he'd been home in England for a few weeks, he began to notice that he couldn't walk very well and he needed crutches. And then sometime later, he couldn't even walk with crutches and he was laid in bed. And then as the thing progressed, and nobody knew how long it would last or if he would ever be cured from it, it got him completely bedridden, and the only way he could move and turn in the bed was he hung a rope from the ceiling, and he grabbed the rope and he pulled himself up from side to side when he needed to turn, and he could do nothing for himself. He was completely bedridden, and it got finally to a point where he couldn't even hold a pen. But the most distressing thing to him was that when he got back from China and he found that his dear friend had died, who was heading up the home base, he found subsequent to her death, the whole base was in disarray and had fallen apart. The prayer meetings weren't happening, the letters weren't going out, nothing was happening. And he said, God, and here am I in bed. I can't do anything. I need to be up. I need to be visiting churches. I need to be telling them what's happening in China. I need to be raising finance. I need to be writing newsletters. I've got to do it, Lord. I've got to get the home base back on its feet. Why has all this happened to me? Why am I laid completely immobile, not able to do anything? Well, when he'd had his moan and his whinge and he'd had talked to God about it all, he knew he could do one thing that the devil couldn't stop him doing, and it was the most powerful thing he could do, and that was pray. So he set his mind to pray, and he laid in that bed and he prayed. God, you know what needs doing. You know the correspondence. You know the finance. You know everything that needs to be done here, and there's nobody to do it, not even me, and I can do nothing about it. And as he laid and as he prayed, he began to see. Slowly things began to happen, and somebody would come, and they would come to visit him, people he'd not seen for some time, and he would say to them, can you open my correspondence and we'll see what's in there. And they would read his correspondence to him, and then he would dictate a letter to them in reply. And somebody would come in the morning, one or two might come through the morning, and then in the afternoon another group would appear. And after work in the evening, when people were going home, some faithful souls would pop in and they would continue the work. He never asked anybody, he prayed, and these people came in. And he said at the end of that time, he was up to date with his correspondence, the money was coming in. God is faithful. God did far more than he could ever have done by running round churches and wearing himself out. He had to call on God's resources, and God came and met his need, and he did it admirably. And also at the same time, they needed 16 more volunteers to go out into the China Inland Mission. They wanted to get into the interior of China, and he was going to try and raise up workers during his time at home, but how could he? He was in bed, and so he continued to pray for workers to be volunteered into the China Mission. And he began to receive letters from people after the correspondence started to get out. He got letters from people who were really challenged by the letters and the content, because his heart, the devil couldn't kill his heart. His heart was for China. And the anointing of the Holy Spirit came through in the correspondence that the people typed up for him and sent out. And as a result, all 16 of these volunteers came in. And he said, I've got to teach them Chinese. How can I teach them Chinese when I can't get up? But you know, in stages, in groups, they came and sat round his bed. And he began to teach them Chinese. And by the time they went out, they weren't fluent, but they got a good grasp of the Chinese language. And praise God, latterly God raised him up completely, he healed him completely, and he went back out to China with all of them. Our God is a mighty, powerful, working God. But at the end of this chapter, this is what, I believe it's his son who wrote the book, Howard Taylor. He says, despite absences from home and loved ones and the limitations of ill health, which Hudson was feeling keenly, Mr. Taylor was enabled so to cast his burden on the Lord that he wrote to Mr. Hill in February 1877. He could not but rejoice 7 days a week. Whenever work permitted, he was in the habit of turning to a little harmonium for refreshment, playing and singing many a favourite hymn, but always coming back to, Jesus, I am resting, resting. In the joy of what thou art, I am finding out the greatness of thy loving heart. Some around him could hardly understand this joy and this rest, especially when fellow workers were in danger. A bundle of letters arriving on one occasion, as Mr. Nicol relates, brought news of serious rioting in two different Chinese stations. Standing at his desk to read them, Mr. Taylor mentioned that what was happening and that immediate help was necessary. Feeling that he might wish to be alone, the younger man was about to withdraw when, to his surprise, someone began to whistle. It was the soft refrain from the well-loved song, Jesus, I am resting, resting in the joy of what thou art. Turning to him, Mr. Nicol could not help but exclaim, Mr. Hudson, how can you whistle when our friends are in such danger? Hudson answered, would you have me anxious and troubled? That wouldn't help them, and it would certainly stop me and my work. I just have to roll the burden on the Lord. Day and night, that was his secret, just to roll the burden on the Lord. He learned that if he wanted to get the best, if he wanted to succeed in the work that God had called him to, there was only one way forward. He had to cast his care, he had to roll his care on God, he had to rest in God, he had to resist the devil, and he had to rejoice And because he did that, I think many of our Nepalese folk are here today. What a mighty warrior for Jesus. Let's take his example. Let's follow what God says to do, and we shall know mighty victories in his name. Amen.
Hallelujah. God is good to us.
He is.
Amen.
Yes.
We can rest in his presence.
Yes.
We can rejoice in his presence.
Amen.
You see, rest allows us to rejoice.
Yes.
And to give him praise. And we can only do those things when we realize that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. We're set free. Glory to his wonderful name. And before we just close in our meeting, we're going to sing, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Glory to God.
By the blood of the Lamb, I've been redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb, I've been redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. And that's not all. There's more beside.
There's more beside.
And that's not all.
And that's not all.
There's more beside. And that's not all. There's more beside. I've been to the river and I've been baptized. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. My Lord and I. We are so close,
we are so close,
my Lord and I,
my Lord and I,
we are so close,
my Lord and I, we are so close,
baptize me in the Holy Ghost, all my sins are washed away, I've been redeemed, now I'm so glad. That the devil's mad.
That the devil's mad.
Now I'm so glad.
I'm so glad.
That the devil's mad. Now I'm so glad. That the devil's mad. He lost that child that he thought he had. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed.
By the blood of the Lamb,
I've been redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb, I've been redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb, I feel with the Holy Ghost I have. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb, I've been redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb, I've been redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb, I feel with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. My Lord and I.
We are so close,
my Lord and I.
We are so
close, my Lord and I. We are so close. Baptize me in the Holy Ghost. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb,
by the blood of the Lamb,
I've been redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb,
I've been redeemed.
By the blood of the Lamb, filled with the Holy Ghost I am. All my sins are washed away. I've been redeemed.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.